Today, we'll talk about some of the best apps you can use during your Disney World trip. That's coming up on this episode 10 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go. I am your host, Shannon Albert. I am the creator of WDWPrepSchool.com, and you can find me there a couple of times a week in addition to this podcast, which comes out weekly. So I'm excited about today's show. I am a huge freak about apps and technology and gadgets, and I'm always looking for new ways to use them. And especially, you know, when it comes to Disney trips, because this is something I live and breathe every day. So I'm always looking for new ways to use things. And so today we actually have the first guest that we've ever had on the podcast. And it's because I knew that Stephanie would have lots of good ideas and contribute to this topic. So I was happy to have her. Before we dive into that, I wanted to take a minute to read a review. If you would like to leave an iTunes review, it is much appreciated and has done amazing things for the podcast in terms of being featured in the iTunes store, and I appreciate every single one of them. Here is a review, and if you want to leave yours, you can go to wdwprepschool.com/iTunes, and it takes you right there. This review is titled Planning My First Trip with Your Help, and the user's name is Love My Bailey. And it says, I have been casually thinking of taking my little girls ever since I found out I was pregnant. She's three now, and I stumbled on Shannon's post about Disney, about doing Disney with toddlers. The moment I finished reading, I started planning my trip using the plethora of advice and info from the site. This podcast is a great extension of all of that information. Shannon, thank you for sharing your knowledge and insight with me. And I love that review, not because it's a five-star review that says nice things about the podcast, which is great, but I love that she is taking her toddler daughter. And I love being able to sort of break things down and inspire people to want to go and have them book their trips. If you have an opportunity to take multiple trips with your children, I highly recommend going during their toddler years because there's just nothing quite like it. If you can go and really focus on them and let them sort of dictate the schedule. So you might, you know, skip roller coasters on that trip, but you might end up doing some of the smaller rides that they love multiple times. And it's fun. And that period of time doesn't last very long. And so I really, really recommend it. My son took a couple trips like that when he was little. And now, you know, he rides everything and does, you know, all the big rides. So that time period is past and I have no regrets about doing that with him. So I highly recommend doing that. And I love that she is doing that and also listening to the podcast. So I appreciate that. So today, I'm going to play the interview that I recorded with Stephanie. Stephanie is from the website CapturingMagic.me, and she also has a podcast called Capturing Magic, and it primarily focuses on photography in Disney vacations. So that's hence the name Capturing Magic. And Stephanie also is really into gadgets and apps and things like that. So she is a great guest and she brought lots of great information. So I'm going to dive right into that and stay tuned after the interview for my quick tip of the day. Today we're talking to Stephanie from CapturingMagic.me. Hello, Stephanie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm so excited to have you on because I know that you're a fellow gadget freak.
Yeah.
And so I've been wanting to talk about favorite apps. And so I knew you'd be a good person to go to for that.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So when you are going on Disney trip, and by the way, when's your next trip to either Disneyland or Disney World?
I have a trip to Disneyland the first weekend October with my sisters, and then the end of November, my husband and I are going to be hitting Disneyland and Disney World all within a few days, within a week. We're going straight from Disneyland right to Disney World.
And that's for your birthday, right?
Yeah, my 40th birthday.
See, that's pretty genius. I think I'm going to spend my 40th birthday that way too.
I figured, you know, it was an excuse to celebrate in a big way. So. Yeah,
that's awesome. Okay, so when you're going on these trips, let's talk about, so I have a few ideas too, but what are some apps that you like to use during your trips?
I have a few apps that I won't go without on my trips. And especially for Disney World, one of the apps that I love to use in the parks is called Rain Aware. And it's a little bit more of an expensive app. It's $4.99, I believe. Have you heard of that one?
No, I assume it's weather related though.
Yes, it is. And it actually can track very accurately within a 3-mile radius of where you are if there are thunderstorms or rain or any kind of weather in the area. And you can pull up the app and look, and it'll tell you if it's going to be raining soon. And when I've been at Disney World, I would say that it's highly accurate, probably within 90 to 95% accurate. And I pull it up and it'll say it's going to start raining at such and such a time, and it's going to end at such and such a time. And so I've been able to avoid a lot of thunderstorms. There was one time when I was riding on the boat from Epcot over to Hollywood Studios, and it started raining while we were on the boat exactly at the time the app said it was going to start raining. And by the time we got to Hollywood Studios, it was a torrential downpour. And it said that it was going to be raining for 9 minutes. And so I thought, I'm just going to sit here in this covered area for 9 minutes. And so I stood there and it stopped raining after 9 minutes and I did not get wet at all.
I love that you mentioned that, because it could rain for 9 minutes. And so you wouldn't want to leave the parks and go back to your hotel necessarily, or it could, your app could have told you it was going to rain for 4 hours.
Exactly. Which it has before. And then we're like, all right, let's pack it in.
Yeah. That's a really timely thing too, because right now, as we're recording this, Florida is getting hit with torrential downpours, and it's going to be more than 9 minutes. It's going to be a lot longer than that. But that would be good for people to know so they can kind of plan what they're going to do while they're there.
Yeah. Yeah. It is timely because it's that season down there in Florida right now. And I was down there a year ago at this time. And with the app, I was able to duck into a restaurant with my mom and dad about five. I mean, it was sunny, but the crane that was around the castle started coming down, and I looked at my app and I was like, oh, it's going to start raining. And so we ran into a restaurant there, the Plaza, I believe it was. And we were able to get right in, and we sat there and watched the rainstorm, and it rained for, I believe, an hour and a half, 2 hours. We did a long lunch and dessert, and
that's good.
And worked out really well.
Do you happen to know if that's available? I know it's on iPhone because that's what you use. Do you happen to know if it's on other platforms?
It is not. I did look up, though, to see if I could find an Android comparable. And there was one that looked like it might be good called Rain Alarm on Android. Mm-hmm. And I can send you links to both of these, of these, actually.
I'll include that in the show notes.
Yeah, it looks like it might do comparable things. I don't know how accurate it would be because I haven't used it. But Rain Aware has been really accurate for me.
I have an app. I didn't think to mention it, but it's sort of the same idea, and it's called My Radar. And so you can always see the radar, a very detailed view of the radar where you're at. And I think yours is actually a little bit more detailed and helpful, but you can always see the radar wherever you're at. Okay. And what app do you have next on your list?
It's a different one, but it's one that I use a lot when I'm in Disney. It's called iCheckBal. So it's just a check register kind of a thing, a digital check register, but it helps me keep track of how much money I've spent and keeps track of my budget for me. So I'll enter in a dollar amount beginning on what I want to spend, what we have budgeted. And then I just go through every time we spend money and take money out of it so that I know where we are. Because sometimes at Disney, they don't always run things instantly. And it can be hard to, if you're just logging in to check your balance, it's hard to know if that's accurate or not. Mm-hmm. And it's great to be able to look back later on and see exactly how much we spent in each area as we're budgeting for our next trip too.
And that's iCheckBal. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good idea. You are much more responsible than I am because I prefer not to know the details.
That's something that I've just started in the last year or so. And especially as I've got a Disney-related business, I've started doing that more so that I know what is a business expense and what isn't. And I can kind of help. That helps me keep everything separated out and track the differences. Mm-hmm. So I haven't always been this responsible. I know it sounds great, but.
Well, I think I'm going to have to start doing that because, you know, I'm getting ready to go on my fourth trip this year, and part of those expenses need to be tracked. So
yes,
I'll definitely be doing that. But some people too, like their biggest priority on their trip is budget. So they need to watch it more carefully. And so I think that'd be really helpful for them to keep an eye on their expenses. So
yeah. Good. And it's helpful for me as people will ask me, how much should I budget for food for every day? It's great for me to be able to go back and look and say, well, this is how much we budgeted and this is how much we actually spent. And I do a fun thing with my budget where I think it's fun where I budget a certain amount of money per day for everybody. And any money that we don't spend on that food, we get as souvenir money.
Oh, that's nice. I like you. You'd be a fun mom.
Yeah. There's less food wasting.
Yes. You're telling me if I don't order dessert, I can get an extra thing at the
store. Extra pin or yeah, exactly. Whatever.
Yeah.
It's all a trade-off.
That's awesome. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's a good recommendation.
Yeah. One of my other apps that I really like to use, especially in Disney World, is one that I talked with you about when you were on my podcast, WDW Transportation Wizard, T-Wiz. Mm-hmm. And you can plug in wherever you are and where you want to go, and it will tell you the different Disney World transportation methods, mm-hmm. and how you can get from point A to point B and how long each of them will take you. And some of them, it even suggests like the hotels that are near the resorts that are near Epcot, it'll tell you that you can walk there if you can walk there and how long it'll take you versus the boats or anything else. And I found it to be fairly accurate in how long it's telling you that it's going to take.
And the GPS version of that app will take your current location and tell you how to get somewhere.
I think so. I didn't look at it very closely, but I think that's, yeah, that you can, it'll pin dot you, and then you can kind of just tap on another place that you want to go, and then it'll tell you. You don't have to actually scroll through the wheels.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's helpful.
And that's the GPS version is $2.99, and I believe that the non-GPS version is 99 cents.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Touring plans is one of the ones that I use in the parks to check on wait times, show times, stuff like that.
And that requires a touring plan subscription?
For the day of, I don't think it does. But yeah, there you do for looking, projecting out.
Well, no, but you can use the app for free without a subscription though?
Yeah, just to check well, I don't know about current wait times. I guess I shouldn't really say it. I've always had a subscription to Touring Plans, yeah. So I don't know the difference.
Well, I think you might, there's elements that you can get for free. And then the chat is something you can only get if you're a subscriber.
Yes. And the customized touring plans, if you want to have a customized touring plan based on the days that you're going to be there and all of that kind of stuff, that's a subscription based thing. But I think just to check show times and wait times for the day of is free.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, their app is like their website where some stuff's free and some stuff you have to have a subscription. So.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's because the app is actually just an app wrapper on an HTML5, basically website kind of a thing.
Right. Mobile. Now you're being nerdy, but I totally understand what you're saying. So basically the idea is it's a mobile website that they put in an app. So it's feeding off the same database or same information. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you do need to be connected, which can sometimes be difficult in the parks, at any of the parks. Disney World now with the Wi-Fi, it helps a lot to have that.
Yes. And it helps. I mean, they have been working on increasing the quality of the Wi-Fi because they are expecting everybody to use their My Disney Experience app, which is on my short list of apps I wanted to mention. It's sort of lame, I feel like, to mention the official free Disney app because, you know, it's everyone knows about that one probably, but I wanted to mention it because FastPass Plus is launching soon, or it is live actually for a lot of people, but
yeah,
it'll be fully live for everybody soon. And the best way to make those reservations or change existing reservations is from the My Disney Experience app. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I used it to make reservations for our upcoming trip in November, and I have to say I really liked it a lot for dining reservations.
Do you have iOS 7 on your phone, your iPhone?
I do now. Does it not work on iOS 7?
Well, I was looking at the reviews because I know there's been a lot of criticism of the app, and all the recent ones say that, but I am able to use it on my iOS 7 phone. So I'm not having any issues. I just wondered if you were having the same issues that the people on the comment section were having.
Yeah, I don't think I've tried it at all. So, well, I take that back. I did, because I remember after I upgraded, I went in to try and make a reservation and I had a difficult time. And I thought, I bet this is something to do with iOS 7, because I was able to use it before I upgraded very, very easily to make reservations without a problem.
Well, hopefully, if there are issues, they'll correct them quickly, because 9 million new iPhones that are shipping with iOS 7 were just sold the weekend that it was released. So, and yes. Disney is now launching FastPass Plus. So, you know, you have to use the phone, or you can go to a kiosk in the park, but getting in line to do that seems like it'd be a lot of trouble. So if you have a phone, make sure you get the app. It's on Android and iOS. And if I was looking at the reviews to see if people were saying that it was draining their batteries, I recommend taking an extra battery pack.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you have any specific recommendations. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I think in general, bringing an extra battery pack is a good idea, because there's a lot of dependence on having a connection, and you are probably going to be gone all day, so you'll want to keep charged.
I totally agree. And I also think where people are using their smartphones instead of point and shoot cameras, or even instead of DSLRs, you and I were just talking about that before we started recording. I think absolutely having an extra battery pack. And I do have a recommendation.
Okay.
I've tried a lot of different battery packs and not been happy with any of them, but this one that I have, it's a new Trent, and it is I'm going to look at the model number here if I can find it really quick. It's a 1200 megahertz. And so it can recharge my iPhone many, many times, 5-6 times.
Wow.
So I can plug in my iPhone, my husband's iPhone. We can recharge an iPad. Not that we're doing iPad photography in the parks. Please
Thank
don't think
you.
That.
Thank you.
But I have some new gadgets that I've been taking into the parks with me that I can also recharge any of those. The new lens that I want that you and I talked about, the QX100. Mm-hmm. I can recharge that with this little gizmo. Anything that will recharge with a USB cable can be recharged with this. And it's great because it will recharge a bunch of us as many times as we need to while we're there.
That's fantastic. I think I'm going to order. I assume I could probably get that on Amazon or something, but
that's where I got it. And I think it's about $50 or $60.
Okay.
Not too bad for that kind of, like I said, I've had other ones that were the same price that did not even charge my phone 30%, which is frustrating. So
that is I'm glad you mentioned that, because, one of the complaints about the newer iPhones is can be battery life. So I don't know if, you know, there'll be updates that help that to improve, but definitely have an extra battery pack would be a good backup plan for, you know, just in case the battery doesn't last as long as we're used to.
Exactly. I totally agree. Totally agree. So one of my other apps that I found myself using a lot on my last trip to Disney World is a Coin Presses app. And it's a pretty bare bones app. I'm not sure. I mean, I did use it the 99 cents worth. I think it should be a free app because it is so bare bones, but it goes through, and I have the version that has Disney World and Disneyland, and it will tell you where all of the different coin press machines are in the different lands in each park, which we liked. We really enjoyed doing the coin presses last time we were there with my daughter. So
yeah, I think that's a really good, it's like a cheap souvenir, and it's fun to, you know, put it in the machine and watch it kind of flatten and all that kind of stuff. I didn't realize that they had an app. I only knew about a website that had like a PDF you could download.
Yes.
So
yeah. I used it a couple of times just because I had the PDF on my phone as well, but this was faster just to be able to zip into the park that we were in and then into the land that we were in. And it pulls up all of the coin presses by different locations. And then it tells you exactly where it is. You know, you turn left here or whatever, on the Veranda Breezeway outside the Island Supply Company in Adventureland.
That's fantastic. I didn't even know that was a thing. So good.
Yeah. Yeah, 99 cent app. And then the last apps that I have on my list that I use a lot are my Capturing Magic apps, of course, which I like to set up my trip before I leave. And then when I'm in the parks, these apps, which are my apps, I guess I need to let people know that. They will notify me as I come across these locations and remind me that I wanted to take a picture at that location. And then it pops up with the photo opportunity, and I can mark off, it automatically pops up with who I wanted to be in the picture, and I can deselect people or add more people that are there, take the picture in the app if I want to, and then it adds the location and the time that the picture was taken. I can also add notes to that photo, and it adds all of that to the metadata of the photo if I take it in app. So then when I transfer that photo to my computer, all of that information goes with the photo, and I can just right click on it. On a Mac, it's properties, or sorry, on Windows, it's properties. On a Mac, it's get info, and I can see the time it was taken, where it was taken, who was in the photo, and any of the notes that I added to that photo as well.
That is fantastic. I knew about the app, but I didn't know that the metadata was connected to it. But that's so fantastic.
Because I'm a geeky kind of girl.
You are. I love that about you. No, that's great. And so you're defining your pictures even before your trip. And then when you get there, you can sort of check them off the list. And
exactly. And make sure that you get all of those location-based photos. But then there's also another list in the app that is memory-based photos that aren't necessarily tied to any location, just things that will help you remember the trip. You know, you can get, for some of the suggestions are the favorite characters. So I can put my daughter down, and I want to make sure that I get her a picture of her with her favorite character. I want to make sure that I get a picture of her in front of her favorite restaurant. I want to make sure that I get a picture of the time that we enter the parks for the very first time. All of those things are on the list, and you can just add them to your photo list and then cross, you know, tap them and mark them as taken as you take them through the park.
And that's available for iOS.
iOS, yes.
And how much is it?
So you're going to ask me that, and I'm so bad. It's $1.99 for Disneyland, and it's $2.99 for Disney World.
Okay, good. You're kind of in a mid-price range compared to some of the others. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the price range. The bad thing about iTunes is it won't show you once you've bought the app. It won't show you how much the app is. And so, yeah, I'm pretty sure that that's my price range. It was $1.99 and $2.99. So, yeah, mid-level price range. The app does a ton, a lot more than just those few things. But once you get home, you can go through and just hit export, and you can email yourself or anybody else all of the information that is in the app. It'll break it down by each photo and tell you what camera it was on. You can also mark if that photo was on PhotoPass and who was in it, where it was taken, any of the notes that you were added. Because once you get home, sometimes you're like, I know I have that picture, but which camera was it on? Mm-hmm. If you have lots of different people with lots of different cameras, it can be difficult to track. So I did that after a Disneyland trip with people that I work with in January. I emailed the list to all of them, and they were so happy to have that list of which camera different photos were on.
Yeah, that's really good. Love that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in the olden days, you'd have one camera per family, and now it's like everyone's got a camera. Sometimes you've got multiples per person, depending on, you know,
yes,
what you're doing. So yeah, that's a really good idea. I have a couple of apps to add to the list. You mentioned getting character pictures, and I don't know if you use any apps to locate characters, but
I haven't tried them yet, but I'm dying to try the one you're probably going to mention.
Kenny the Pirate.
Yes.
He has a character locator app, and I want to point out that the My Disney Experience app has a character section, but it's not accurate. And so Kenny often will post screenshots like on Twitter and say, hey, look, they said that the park is closed, but it's not. I mean, it's like they'll say the characters aren't appearing. They just don't keep it as up to date as he does. And he actually lives in Orlando now. So he's there to even, you know, make it even more accurate than before. So Kenny the Pirate character locator, he doesn't use the word character hunter. He doesn't like that word, so we'll call it character locator. It's $2, and it's available on Android, and a web-based format. They don't have an iOS per se, but you can subscribe and then pull up the browser on whatever phone you have, including iPhone, and get the information there. And I promise he has the most accurate data for people that are into characters. So
yeah, I'm really excited to try it out when I go in November. I wish he had something for Disneyland too, but you know, he's in Florida.
He is in Florida. Yeah, that's true. Maybe give him a tip and say, hey, add Disneyland to that.
Yeah.
So the last one I have is, it's called the Disney World Magic Guide, and at $4.99, it's at the upper end of what an iPhone app might cost. And it has some overlap with the My Disney Experience app in terms of the information it provides. But one of the features I really like, and I don't know if this makes me pathetic or what, but it's a snack locator. So if you decide that you're real, my son's obsessed with churros for some reason, all of a sudden. And so you can click the churros option in their dining section, and it'll show you while you're at Disney World, the nearest place to get a churro. And so last trip we took, we were at Animal Kingdom, and my son was like, I really want to get a churro, because we were just between meals. And we happened to be near a place that had it, and I didn't even know that it was an option there. And so it was really handy. And so I just like being able to have that ability. It has other things too. There's maps and there's all kinds of information in there. But that particular feature is unique, I think, to the Disney World Magic Guide app. So
I have that app on my phone, actually.
I like it.
And I think I've actually used it for that exact reason.
Yeah.
For snacks.
Love it. And it's iPhone only. There isn't an Android version as far as I know. So
yeah. So, 'cause one of the snacks that we like to have is the toasted nuts, the almonds.
Yes. And, yes.
Yeah.
Those smell really good.
Oh my goodness. They're wonderful.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, if you have snack credits to use on a dining plan, yeah, that's especially helpful, because sometimes, you know, it's a struggle to even figure out where to use them or what you want to use them for. So, you can use that little locator to figure out where to go.
Yep. Perfect.
So I really like that. So I got lots of good tips. I was taking notes as you were talking, and now I wish I had an iTunes gift card to spend, because I'm getting ready to go get some new apps. But anyway, I appreciate you joining today as my very first guest on the podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
And you can find Stephanie. Where's the best place to find you, Stephanie? Capturingmagic.me.
Yes, capturingmagic.me. And I'm also at thedailydigi.com, which is a digital scrapbooking site.
And your podcast is part of the Touring Plans Network, and it is called Capturing
Magic. Magic. Yep.
You're very consistent with the Capturing Magic.
Yeah, that website, I've been consistent. My other ones, not so much, but that one, yes.
Yeah, so check out Stephanie's website and her podcast, and I appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much, Shannon. I appreciate it.
Okay, so that was Stephanie, and I hope you got lots of good tips out of our discussion there. I know that I did, and as usual, all of the notes from the show will be in the show notes, and I'll have the link to that in just a second. Before we finish up today, I wanted to provide my quick tip of the day. And today's tip is to, before your trip, watch videos on YouTube of the various attractions. And I created guides on the website for every park. And for every park, I have information about every ride, including a video. So you can go to my website and look at all the videos there, or you can just go on YouTube and search for the name of an attraction. And the reason I like this, and this, you know, from personal experience, my kids are very anxious about things. And so they have a lot more fun when they sort of know what to expect. And so it's helpful to go on YouTube and look at something, particularly if you have kids that are kind of at an in-between phase. So maybe they're five-year-olds who are ready to step up from, you know, some of the little kid rides, but they're not quite sure how much they're willing to do. So you might want to go on YouTube and just watch some of those videos to see what the rides are like. There are videos, particularly the ones from Undercover Tourists. They tend to have the best video. Those are the ones I usually use in the posts that I write, because I know that they're going to provide the quality that I would like to show you in a video. Another option for preparing kids for a trip is the Burn Bombs for Kids book. And it's a guide that comes out every year. And they have one for, you know, a non-children's version as well. But the kids one is the one that I particularly like. The book itself has It has a lot of pictures, and it has ratings for all the rides as far as how scary they are. Because, for instance, the Haunted Mansion is not necessarily considered a thriller. You know, it doesn't have any high drops or anything like that, but it's dark. And so for some kids, that's even more important. And so the Burn Bombs for Kids books have a rating about how scary the rides are as well. And so that can be really helpful to prepare kids for trip. So I hope you got some good information out of today's show. For all of the information, including all of the names and links to the apps that were mentioned, you can go to wdwprepschool.com/episode10, and that's the number 10. So it's episode 10, and get all the links to that. I think that just about wraps it up. I'll see you next time.